It's good to see you all today. Thank you for coming. It gives the pastor's heart a bit of a start when half the congregation walks out before he begins to preach. Hopefully the other half of the congregation won't do that as I preach. But we're glad that you're here. We are in part three of a series entitled Ask It. And those of you who are joining us online, thank you for being with us today. Those of you who are in the room, a special thanks to you. And for those who may be here for the first time, I hope that you'll find this so helpful that you'll want to catch up. And if you want to catch up, you can go back to the other series on our website at www.gatewaycommunity.org. Are we not hooked up? Okay. Let me see if we can fix this. Sorry about this, folks. Sometimes you have difficulties in... line. Now we should be hooked up. Pardon? There we go. Okay. So we are at the www.gatewaycommunity.org. You can go back, you can listen to the thing and catch up on this series. Now, the name of this series is Ask It, and the subtitle of the series has been The Question That Answers Just About Everything. The question that answers just about everything. And we're essentially talking in this series about one single question. And this is an important question, and it's our hope and prayer that this question becomes a part of your life so that from this moment forward, from this time forward, as you're going through this series, every opportunity, every invitation, every decision will be run through the filter of this one question. And we think that if you ask this question, it will reduce the tears that you cry, it will reduce the heartache in your life, it'll save you money, it'll save you time, and it certainly is going to save you a whole lot of regret. And the question that we've been talking about all through this has simply been, in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? And what we've said is, if you don't think that you can remember this entire question, now the question is kind of easy to remember, in light of my past experience, my current circumstance, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? If you can't remember that whole question, just remember the last part of it. What is the wise thing for me to do? Now we're asking what's the wise thing is, not what's the right thing. This question is so much better than that. We're asking what's the wise thing, not what's the legal thing. This question is so much better than that. We're asking what's the wise thing for me to do, not, you know, what's the least that I can get by with, because it's a better question than any of that. The question is, what's the wise thing for me to do? And that question, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at, and your homework assignment has been simply what? To ask the question. You don't even have to do anything with the question. We have just been asking you to ask the question. Now, next week, we're going to change that, and we're going to up the stakes a little bit. But you've got one more week of reprieve. Just ask the question. And again, the homework assignment, the reason that we do that is, again, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to act on it. Once you determine what the wise thing to do, we just want you to get in the habit of asking the question for every invitation, every opportunity, every decision. Just ask yourself, what is the wise thing for me to do? And you know, you might say something like this: okay, if I were interested in doing the wise thing. And you might not be, but if I were interested in doing the wise thing, what is it to do? And here's what we've said so far on this question. You owe it to yourself to answer that question. In most cases, you're going to know the answer to that question even before you ask it, as you stop to ask it. And that's why your homework assignment has been simply, just ask it. What's the wise thing for me to do. Now, beginning today, we're going to begin to apply this principle in two very practical, very important areas of life. And a little bit of a heads up for next week, okay? This is a warning for you, okay? Next week is the week that you want to make sure that your children are at Adventure Kids and that your teenagers are on the front row. Your children are in Adventure Kids. Your teenagers are on the front row. Very important for this next week. I'm not going to say much about it other than to say next week we're dealing with an area that's pretty spicy. We're going to deal with the area of moral decisions, of sex. Okay, so make sure your kids are in Adventure Kids because this is going to be, you know, more than you want them to hear. And make sure your teenagers are here and in the front row. And if you're a college student or an adult and young adult, you need to make sure that you're here or you're watching online with this one, because next week's is one of those areas where we have such a difficult time applying this important principle. But it's the area that will save you the most headaches and the most heartaches and the most regrets. So today, what we want to do is we want to apply this question: what is the wise thing for me to do? We want to apply this question specifically to our area of time. We want to look at the wise use of time. Job, a guy in the Old Testament that many of us are familiar with, even if you're not in church, you probably heard about the patience of Job. It's not Job, it's Job. Okay, it's spelled Job, but it's Job. You've heard about the patience of Job, so you know, you're kind of familiar with this guy. Job said, "You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we live, and we are not given a minute longer." Now, Job believed that. And others, Old Testament writers and New Testament writers, believe that God has set a time for everybody's life. Now, you may or you may not believe that, but one of the things that you do know for sure is this: your time is running out. Our time is running out. I mean, somebody's already turned the hourglass over. This week's hourglass, last week's hourglass, you know, the year's hourglass, it has been turned over, and our time is running out. All of us have a limited amount of time, which means you can overeat and you can overachieve and you can overspend, but you can't overlive, right? You can't overlive. At some point, your time runs out, which means simply that it's far more important than what time it is what you are doing with the time you have. Far more important than the time, what time it is what you are doing right now with the time that you have. Your time is the most valuable asset you have. And it's the most valuable asset because you can't get any more of it. And you can't go back and retrieve any of it that's lost. And you know that this is right. You can make more friends. You can make more money. But you can't make more time. You can count your money. You can count your friends. But you can't count, and I can't count, how much time we have left. So if there's ever an area that it's important to ask ourselves the question, what is the wise thing to do? It's in this area of time, the most valuable commodity that we have. And the reason it's important that we ask it is because that valuable commodity is limited. And most of us are already old enough and wise enough to look back at certain periods of our life, and when we do, we think, man, I wasted so much time. Or probably the most common question that you get all the time is, where did the time go? What happened? How did I get here? I gave away so much time. I misspent so much of my time. Now, we can't go back and retrieve that misspent time. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to move forward. We're going to move forward, and moving forward, hopefully, will get us all on the same page and get us emotionally connected. And I'm going to make four observations. I'm just telling you right now, we're going to make four observations about time. None of this is new. Maybe I'll say it in a little bit different way than you are used to hearing it, but there's nothing I'm going to say that you're going to say, oh, I didn't know that. So just kind of stick with me, because I think that we might say some things in ways that you've not really thought about them before. But four quick observations to underscore the importance of asking this question: what is the wise thing for me to do in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams? What is the wise thing for me to do with my time right now? And even if you're not very religious, you know, you're here, you can don't consider yourself a particularly religious person, or you've been out of church for a long time, and you came because someone asked you to come, or maybe you're here because you're facing some type of crisis in your life and you don't know what to do, and finally you said, I've got to try to get back. I've got to find some answers to this. So you're here perhaps out of desperation. Regardless of why you're here, but why you've tuned in on Facebook, why you're watching us live, everything that we're about to say is so appropriate and so applicable. So I hope that you'll do that. And you don't even have to be a Christian to apply this. You don't have to be a Christian to believe it. But the interesting thing is, the thing that drives all of our decisions as Christians is our belief that the Scripture is God's word to us. That what is found in the Scripture, if you're a Christian, you really believe that God somehow has something to do with your life and you consider God as your heavenly Father, this is personal for you and this is mandatory for you. It is not optional for Christians. If you're not a Christian, you know, you have a choice of saying, well, I'm going to believe that or I'm not going to believe that. But whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it, you're still going to pay the price. Just be aware of that. But Christians believe that whatever is good, whatever is perfect, is a gift coming down from God our Father, who created the lights in the heaven, and He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And because we believe that everything we have is a gift of God, we believe that we're stewards of what God, we're not owners, we're stewards of what God has given us. That everything comes to God, everything belongs to God, and we are His managers of what we have. And one of the things that you've been given the opportunity to manage and handle is your time. Your time basically is your life, right? I mean, time is life, ultimately. Your time is your life. So, four observations that will hopefully move us all in the same direction. First thing is investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. In other words, it builds up. Let me give you some illustrations. Three, and you understand this. You get this. I get this. If you exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 or 4 days a week, week after week, month after month, year after year, it's cumulative. It adds up. It makes a difference. If you have a family dinner 3 or 4 times a week, you spend time together as a family. And in this busy time, we don't often do that. But you spend time together as a family week after week, month after month, year after year. It adds up. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay dividends. If you eat right, now I'm meddling, right? If you eat right, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, it is cumulative. If you have a quiet time, if you open God's Word and pray every day, not just when you come to church on Sunday, you pray every day, it becomes a habit. It is cumulative. Just a few minutes every single day, and it makes a difference. If you're in a small group, if you're in the habit of, on a weekly basis, of pouring your life into other people, And having them pour their life into you, it is cumulative. You know, 1 week in a small group is not going to make any difference. Oh, I tried it once. I didn't like it, so I never went back to a small group. Come on, ladies, tell me. Have you ever gone to a hairstylist who did a bad job on your hair? And you said, oh, man, I tried a hairstylist once. I'm never doing that again. No, you find the one that fits because it's important. 1 week in a small group, 1 week at exercise, 1 day at eating right, 1 week at eating right, you know, that's not going to do you any good. Attending one church service isn't generally life-changing. It's cumulative. It's over time these things build up. But here's where we get in trouble. There's no benefit in one installment, and there's generally no consequence for missing one, is there? And that's why it's so easy for you to talk yourself out of exercising, isn't it? I'm tired today. I feel like going. No big consequence in missing that one time. Someone calls you and they say, hey, let's go do such and such, and you're already looking for an excuse to get out of exercise. And so you think, you know, missing one time, not going to really hurt anything. And you're right. Missing one time really isn't going to hurt anything. So you do the same thing with church. Missing one time isn't going to hurt anything. But then missing one time becomes missing two times and missing three times because it didn't hurt anything. You know, you're still the same person. Giving yourself one installment in anything doesn't help anything, and missing one installment doesn't hurt anything. And if you haven't exercised in a long time and you go to work out, you know, after one workout, nobody's going to say, hey, you look different. Man, you look good, right? Because one installment doesn't make any difference. It is constant deposits over time in the key areas of life that make all the difference in the world. They're cumulative. They're cumulative. Now, my second observation is this. Neglect is cumulative as well. If we choose not to exercise, that's cumulative as well. If your goal is not to eat healthy, that's cumulative. It's going to show up in your life. If you neglect your relationships, if you neglect your children, if you neglect your spiritual life, you neglect your quiet time, drop church. You know, I used to go to church. I don't go to church anymore. I don't see any. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. That's cumulative as well. Neglect is cumulative. The problem is neglect, and you know this. Neglect is easy. Neglect is easy. And neglect is costly because it's small deposits over time in the key areas of life that make the difference in your life. And when you neglect that which is most important in your life, and you neglect it because it's easy, it's also costly. You are going to pay for it. You can neglect your health physically. You can neglect your health emotionally. You can neglect your health spiritually only for so long. Eventually, you are going to have to ante up and pay for that neglect. Problem is, that wake-up call generally comes too late, doesn't it? Some of you have seen this with your parents, maybe your grandparents, who never took care of themselves physically, and now they would give anything to be able to go back and stop a bad habit because it's affecting their lungs, or eat right because they have a heart issue, or exercise more because they're out of shape and they can't walk 10 steps without having to breathe in oxygen or something like that. Same is true of our spiritual life. You can neglect your spiritual health. You can neglect your spiritual life. You can get too busy for God, too busy for the church. And when the crisis comes, you're left saying, "What, God, I need you, and I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't know you. Where are you?" And you feel alone and you feel lost, and God feels like he's distant and not interested in you and doesn't care for you, and the whole faith thing is so far from you, and you want to pray, but you're not even sure how to pray anymore, and you're certainly not sure whether you believe that it works, because you're not sure that it's real anymore. Neglect is easy. It's always easier to neglect. But when it comes to those three things in which we invest small amounts of our time, number three, and this kind of goes along with the neglect, number three is random has no cumulative value. And again, this is something that we don't often think about, but it's important that we think about how we are using our time. Random has no cumulative value. There's no cumulative value to doing something randomly when we just opting out of the important things of life. So let me illustrate it this way. You put 30 minutes a day into exercise, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you know that's what you're doing in this hand and in this hand. You were to do all of the things instead of exercise that you can think of doing, this hand would amount to nothing. You would have nothing to show for it because it's not cumulative. You can't point to anything and say, well, you know, that was the benefit. You know, I slept in. Instead of exercising, I slept in. Look what it did for me. What you have for sleeping in over exercise is nothing. Nothing. I did email. What do you have for the email that you've done? Nothing. I worked a few extra hours. What do you have for that? Pretty much nothing. Maybe a few more bucks in the bank. But you put all of that stuff into a pile in your life. Do all the things that are not important, and what do you have? You have nothing because there is no cumulative value. If you're married with children, and you know, if you take all of the things that you did instead of spending time with your children, instead of spending time with your family, I exercise all the time, and I go golfing. I mean, I have to have some me time, and that me time cuts into my family time, and you know that. What does it add up to? It adds up to a big pile of nothing. Because you neglected the important things in your life for a bunch of random things. And just know this, random plus random equals random. Random plus random equals random. If you add up a bunch of random, all you get is random. So again, when it comes to the wise use of our time, small deposits over time on the important things of life are cumulative. They add up. You know, if you want to play a musical instrument, 20 minutes a day, every day, going to make all the difference in the world to getting where you want to be. But you neglect that, and what do you have? Nothing. Got a musical instrument you spend a lot of money on, and you can't even play. To all the things that we do instead of practicing that musical instrument, what does it add up to? It adds up to nothing because random isn't cumulative. Fourth observation, in the areas that matter most, you can't make up for lost time. You can't make up for misspent time. And this is really important. In the areas that matter most, you can't go back and make up for it. Let me put it more directly. In the areas that matter most in life, you can't go back and pull an all-nighter and come out on top. you know, remember this from when we were in school. You haven't been studying the way you should have been studying. You've been kind of doing other things, telling, I'm going to get to it, I'm going to get to it, I'm going to get to it. Now it's time for the final. And what do? You stay up all night and you study. You beg, you borrow, you steal, you do whatever you can. All you are trying to do is get a C, because C gets degrees too, right? That's important. Nobody's going to look at my permanent record and say they were an A student. They're just going to say they graduated or they didn't graduate. So C's get degrees too. So you think, okay, I can study all night. I'll get this. I'll get through this exam. And that's what you kept telling yourself. And every time you knew that you should be doing it and you didn't do it, you kept telling yourself, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. And eventually you had to end up staying up all night. And the problem is that while this may work in study, and in some other areas of life, there are areas of life that it doesn't work. You know, you've got a presentation to make. You've been called on your boss. You're supposed to make a presentation at work. You forget about it. And then the day of the presentation comes. And so you stay up and you study and you prepare and you put all everything together at the last minute. And you're saying, my goodness, I forgot this thing. And you go and you do a pretty good job. And everybody's saying, hey, that was spectacular. Great presentation, man. And so you think, you know what? I'm going to procrastinate all the time. I mean, I work best under pressure. You ever tell that to yourself, that lie to yourself? I work best under pressure. But here's what I want you to understand. The way that God made the world to work, you cannot do an all-nighter to make up for the most important areas of your life. You can't do an all-nighter. You can't pull an all-nighter to make up for the most important areas of your life. If you're one of those families who are just too busy for one another, you know, dad's got his responsibilities, mom's got her responsibilities, they have their clubs that they go to, they have their other things that they do, and, you know, the kids, I mean, they're running around in all kinds of sports. You know, it really bothers, this is personal, if I offend anybody, I'm sorry for this, but this is a personal observation from years of experience. Parents who think that sports are more important than church for their kids end up paying the price. You do. They'll be traveling all the time instead of doing the investment in the important things. Just think about that for a minute. But you who do that, you who are so busy, you're running all these places, you'd never eat together hardly. If you do, it's almost standing at the counter at home and eating and talking to each other. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to think, my goodness, my children are growing up. My oldest is getting ready to graduate from high school, since we just came through high school graduation. Where did the time go? And so you decide, you go to the kids and you say, hey, guess what? Tomorrow, cancel any appointments you have. We're going to have breakfast and we're going to stay at the breakfast table for 8 hours to make up for all of those breakfasts that we missed. Now, you can't say that. In reality, that's going to do more damage than good, right? I'm telling you. In the areas that matter most, when it comes to your time, you can't cram. You cannot cram for your health. You can't cram for your relationships. You can't cram in your marriage. You can't cram in your relationship with your kids. Time comes. Time goes. If it's misspent, you can't get it back. You cannot make up for lost times in the area that matters most. And this is true of your faith as well. It's true of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's true of being able to have intimacy with God. If you are not spending time with God, you are not going to feel close to God. It's true in your spiritual growth. It's true in every important area of life. You cannot cram and get by with it in these areas. And we've all tried it, haven't we? Right? You've not been exercising forever. So you go to the gym and you have a mega exercise. You work out really hard and then you feel like this guy. Everything hurts. So you can't exercise, and guess what? You don't exercise. You stop. Last time I exercised, it hurt. Can't be good for you. Or maybe, you know, you're a runner, and you know, you used to run, and you see someone running, and you think, man, I used to do that. So you decide, I'm going to do it again, and you get your jogging clothes, and you get new, you know, tennis shoes, and, you know, you get all ready to run, and then you go out, and you run more than you should have run. And what happens? The next day, you can't even walk. It hurts so bad. And you can't run for the next couple of weeks. So what do? You stop running. Why? Because it doesn't work by cramming. You can't get all of the lost time into one area. In the areas that are most important in your life, you cannot make up for lost time. It may have worked in school. You might have gotten by with the C's. It may have worked on the exam. It may work with business presentations. It doesn't work in relationships. And it generally doesn't work financially. And it doesn't work spiritually. Because spiritual maturity is a maturity that you cannot rush or cram. Maturity takes time, and it takes constant deposits over time to grow spiritually. That's the way God designed it. If the most important area of your life needs small deposits of time over time, what would you expect God, who says that He loves you, to say on this topic? And if there really is a God who loves you, and if there's a God that we believe is our Heavenly Father, what would He say to us on this topic? Well, it's exactly what we would expect Him to say to us on this topic. And that's why I always encourage you, read your Bible. You say, I don't believe the Bible. Just read it. What do you read that you believe? You read it first, and then you decide whether you believe it. Just read your Bible. Now, don't go home today and say, you know what? I haven't touched my Bible in forever. It's got that dust on it. You know, I haven't touched. But, you know, that pastor makes sense this way. So I'm going to go home. I'm going to read the whole thing. You're going to get discouraged and you're going to quit. And don't start in Genesis, for goodness sakes. And the reason I say that is because by the time you get to Leviticus, you'll quit. Start in the New Testament. Start in Matthew. Start in Mark. Start in Luke or John. Start right there. And then read. And a little bit later, when you're a little bit more mature, then go back and look at some of that foundational step. But don't go home and say, you know, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to have a cram session, and I'm going to read as much as I can, because that's going to discourage you, and you're going to quit. It's not going to work. Small deposits over time is what makes all the difference. Now, at the beginning of this series, if you remember, we took a passage of Scripture from Ephesians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to a group of churches. The biggest one was a church of Ephesus, and so that's how it got the name for this letter, Ephesians. And Paul said in this, and this is how it relates to our time, Paul says, be careful how you live. Be careful. Don't be careless. Be careful. Be intentional. Do what is right. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. What's the wise thing for me to do? Live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because your time is limited. You're not getting it back. So make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So here's the question that I have for you. Where have you been spending your time? Where do you need to begin making constant, consistent deposits of time? Where do you need, in what area or areas of your life, where do you need to start making consistent use of your time? In light of my past experience, where do you need to begin making consistent use of time? Truth is, some of you have developed some bad habits, haven't you? And the truth is, some of you have racked up huge amounts of debt. The truth is, some of you have destroyed relationships that you have with people. And my apologies, but the truth is, some of you are just flat out of shape. And for some of you, it's been so long since you've engaged in any type of personal spiritual discipline. The only time you get fed is when you sit here on Sunday. You know, years ago I was in a wilderness camping experience, and part of that experience, we were up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is a pretty remote area along the shores of Lake Superior. Part of that experience was we had a 3-day fast where basically we had to go out solo from each other. None of us were allowed to carry anything with us. We only could take what we could wear on our bodies. That didn't include a pack. We weren't allowed to do that, just the clothes. And we had to make it for 3 days. At the end of 3 days of not eating, we're pretty hungry. So we came back and we're expecting a really good breakfast. And, you know, we got a real, you know, a piece of toast, basically. And it was kind of like, wow, really? What's this? And then at lunch we got, you know, a granola bar. You know, it's kind of like, really? What's this? Actually, it was a homemade type of granola bar, and it felt more like lead in the stomach than granola. And then at dinner, we finally had a steak dinner. And it was great. It was the best meal we had on this whole trip. It was really a surprise for us. And the leader of the trip explained to us that when we came back so hungry, it would have been impossible for us to process a good breakfast or a good lunch because our bodies weren't used to it. It would have made us sick. So he basically built us up again until we could take the nutrition that we needed. Same thing is true spiritually. A lot of people say, you know, I went to church. I didn't get anything out of it. You know why? Because you starved yourself all week. You can't get something out of it doing that. Where are you making consistent deposits of your time? Particularly in this area of spiritual discipline, spiritual exercise. In light of where you've been, in light of what is happening in your life right now, the question is, what is the wise thing for you to do? Because to get where you want to be in the future depends on what you do today. What you do right now. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do now? And the reason we emphasize this is because now is the only time you have any control over. You can't go back and change anything that's past. It's just too late. You know, it's amazing how much we worry over things that we've done that we can't go change. Too late. Water under the bridge, so to speak. You can't go back. You can't do anything about your past time. You can't do anything about your future time because you don't know. You can't borrow on it. Because you don't know the time that you have. You need to do the wise thing now. Because here's what I know. If you're saying, well, I'll do the wise thing tomorrow, and I live a little bit now, I'm going to do the wise thing tomorrow. Chances are, if you're not doing the wise thing now, tomorrow, guess what? You're not doing the wise thing. Just the way it is. It'll always be tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. You need to make the most and best use of your time right now. So where do you need to begin making consistent deposits in your time physically? Where do you begin to need to make consistent use of your time relationally? Where do you need to be making consistent use of your time mentally so that you're growing intellectually? Where do you need to spend consistent amount of time so you're growing professionally? Where do you need to spend consistent amount of time so that you're growing spiritually? In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do now? Because now, all of this has a little bit to do with our future. What we do now will determine our future from here on out. But some of us, and I would be part of that, some of us have been living long enough or have lived long enough to be able to look back, see the benefits of what we've been doing, or recognize the consequences of what we haven't done. So here's what we've said for the last couple of weeks, and I don't want you to miss this. If you know the wise thing to do, and you choose not to do it, it means that you don't have your own best interest in mind. You don't have your own best interest at heart. It means that you're not concerned about the future the way you pretend to be concerned, because small deposits of time over time are what make all the difference in the world in the most important areas of life. So, let me just close again with the words of the Apostle Paul. So be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, not as someone who just kind of lives their life randomly, goes with the flow. Everybody's doing it. I think I'll do it. It's okay. This is what society says. This is what culture says. You know, it'll be okay. It'll be fine. I really don't care. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, because unwise takes no effort. But I'm going to tell you something. Unwise has a high price at the end. Unwise takes no intentionality. You just kind of go with it. But there's a high price that you pay. So be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. And if you do this for the next season of your life, in the next stage of your life, you'll look back on this season, you'll look back on that stage of your life, and you'll say, you know what? It was rough, but I'm glad I did it. Look what I have for making the investment. The decision is up to you. So will you ask the question, in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do with my time? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for preserving the ancient text in the book we call the Bible. Thank you for preserving the story of Job. Father, thank you for preserving both Old and New Testament so that over and over and over again we are reminded that we have no control over our primary or over our most important asset, over our time. Father, thank you for allowing us to have management of our time. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to live. Thank you for the talents and the gifts that you've given us and the opportunities that have come our way. And Father, I pray that as a result of what we would have just heard, we would be wise. And Lord, that we would ask this question and answer, even though it may be convicting and penetrating our heart and soul, that it will be clear to us. And help us be willing to do what we need to do. Help us not to just ask the question and then stop at that point, but help us to be among that group of people in this generation, a unique group of people who are willing to stand up and not do the right thing and not do the legal thing and not do what just what we can get by with, but who are willing to stand up and do the wise thing. So once again, I pray that you will simply give us the wisdom that we need to know what to do with what we just heard, and give us the courage to do it. And we'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.